Blog Talk Radio.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every word of worship.
now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Smile on your face. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your victory.
Thank you, God. Just worship him as the worship team goes to their feet. Just worship him. Just worship God. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. I dare you to say it one more time. Hallelujah.
You playing somewhere, baby. The music is playing. I don't know what it is, but something's playing. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start. My God. Bet it's on YouTube, baby. If you got a YouTube clip open. Hallelujah. 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 Brittany, will you get that light for me? Hit that light for me, please. All right, we're going to create a little more intimate atmosphere. That one not, oh, babe, turn that one off. That's what it was. They don't need to see me as much as they need to hear the word. Hallelujah. The problem in the church today, everybody's focused on the pastor and nobody's focused on the word of God. Hallelujah. If you follow me, honey, if I stop following God and you continue to follow me, you are wrong for that, baby. I give you permission now. If I stop following God, you stop following me. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 18. Bless your name, God. It's important for us to go back to the beginning so that we can understand what God's desire for us was, because somewhere along the way, sin entered in and caused us to lose our direction. And the word of God reads, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.' So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last the man exclaimed, 'This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man.' This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both what? Naked, but they felt no shame. They were both naked, but they felt no shame." Baby, go on over to chapter 3. Chapter 3. We're going to see where shame comes in. Hallelujah. And we're going to go down. Now I'm going to start with one. Let me go on and take you through it. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "Of course, right? It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." I'm going to stop right there. Listen, let me tell you something. God's desire is for us to be naked and unashamed. But once sin entered into the world, we saw our nakedness as shame. We saw our nakedness as shame. See, really, the nakedness is symbolized, the recognition of the nakedness as shame is symbolic of our recognition of sin and the shame that sin brings. It's interesting to me that we'll get naked to sin, but then we won't clothes on so won't nobody see our sin. You know, God's desire was that we would be naked, be able to look at ourselves naked, walk around naked. Listen, if Eve had never eaten from the tree, given it to Adam, and Adam consented to eat it also, because it was really Adam eating that resulted in the sin entering in. You know why? Because God gave the command to Adam. Adam was over it. He was head. So this is why men have to understand who they are in God. Listen, a man can sanctify his whole house. A man can sanctify his whole house. It is in your headship. See, men get caught up in this whole thing that they want people to obey them, to submit to them. But listen, you got to be careful what you're asking them to submit to. Are you doing what you need to do as the head, right? And as long as you are, even if somebody else in the family is out of order, the man will sanctify the household. Now, that's some power right there. Man, you have power. God gave it to you. From the beginning, God created man first, that man might lead. Created woman from man's side, that you might shield and protect us. But in the garden, Eve ate, gave to Adam, and Adam ate. It introduced sin, and suddenly they realized they were naked. Now, all this time, they'd been naked in the garden, talking to God, hanging out with God, chilling with God. Adam was out there working, swinging free. But then when they ate, their eyes were open. And they saw not only good, but they also saw evil. Much like our children. Children, when they're young, they don't think anything about running around naked. They can't wait for that diaper to come off. Honey, they'll run through the house, out the door, up and down the street, naked, stuff just exposed. They just running, naked and unashamed. It is only when we begin to project shame onto them for their nakedness that they begin to feel like, I got to cover up. It is sin that we're really trying to cover. And this is the reality. Sin, no matter what the sin, is going to bring something. It's either going to bring conviction and change or shame and blame. You don't believe me? Let's go back. When the Lord asked the man, where are you? He said, we hid because we were naked. See, the sin that they had committed resulting in them feeling shame. So they began to sew together some leaves to try to cover up what they had done. Maybe God won't see me if I sew some fig leaves together and cover up my private areas. How did you know you had a private area? I made you. I know everything about you. But suddenly you're trying to cover stuff up? What happened? Who told you that you were naked? Their eyes had been opened because they went into forbidden territory, and suddenly they could see things, and they knew the good and they knew the evil. And so now here they are, naked and ashamed, trying to hide out from God. Anybody in here ever try to hide out from God? Have you ever tried to hide out from God thinking, well, maybe God won't see me. Maybe he won't. If I turn all the lights off, Jonathan, maybe he won't see what I'm doing. If I go over in the corner, Arissa, maybe he won't see me off in the corner. You can leave one of them all, DeKayla. Leave one of them all. Maybe he won't see me. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't care where you go. You can jump under something. God is still going to see you because he made you. And he knows all and he sees all. That's why God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent everywhere, and omniscient, all-knowing. There's nothing we can think, do, say, anything that God is not going to know. So no matter where we go, you can run, but you can't hide from God. So listen, you may be saying, Dr. Visa, why are you talking about naked and unashamed? Because listen, we ought to be able to get to the point where we can be naked and not be ashamed of our nakedness. Now listen, I'm not trying to turn this into a nudist church. I don't want y'all all come in here with this stuff all out. There's too much. I don't want to see it, okay? So I want you to understand, I'm not talking about in the physical. I'm talking about in the spiritual. In the spiritual, we ought to be able to lay all our stuff out before God. Everything about us. Listen, if God formed you, and he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb, you think he does not know every intricate detail of your being? This is God we're talking about. This is not your mother and your father. Yes, he uses your mother and your father, for the semen, the sperm to connect with the egg, to create the embryo, and all of that natural process. But before there was a sperm and an egg, there was God and there was you. Do you hear what I'm telling you? You existed before your father's sperm connected with your mother's egg. You existed and God knew you. So now, here we are, and we've entered into this world, and we're different. We don't look like everybody else. There are things about us that are unique. And we wonder, why, God? Why did you make me different? Why don't I look like the rest of my family? Why don't I act like the rest of my family? Why don't I think like the rest of my family? Why am I different? And it's because God has chosen you from the foundations of the world to be different. But what we do is because our families cause us to feel shame at our difference. You don't look like everybody else. Why you act like you act? You don't act like everybody else, Brittany. Why you gotta act like that? Why you gotta be all holy and stuff? God made me like this. Why do you think the way you do? Why do you feel the way you do? Because God made me like this. Now listen, God made you and he knows everything about you. Who is anybody else to tell you that you're wrong for being you? Who gave us the authority to say, well, Whisper, you're wrong for being you. You need to fix that stutter. That's the stutter. You need to fix that. Who are we to say that that's wrong? God didn't know that he was going to stutter when he created him. He knew. He knew and he created him anyway. So what does that tell us? Is something wrong with the stutter? Or the stutterer? Or is something wrong with the God that created him? Neither one. But because we want everybody to be the same, look the same, act the same, think the same, we try to create people into, fashion them into what we think the word says they ought to be, instead of allowing God, the creator of the masterpiece, mold. Thank you. angels. Prepared acts that were intentional. We want to make it all look the same. So we get some super monkey glue and put it in the crack. And we say, if I put the super monkey glue in the crack, then the crack will disappear. No, they're just bound up cracks. But they're still cracks. Listen, children of God. I don't know what it is that people get too all bound up about. But let me tell you what I know for myself. I'm not talking about what somebody told me. I'm talking about what I know that I know that I know. Listen, whether you had a child outside of wedlock, hear me now, hear me, because I had some outside of wedlock. Whether you had a child outside of wedlock, only the Lord opens and closes the womb.
Connected.
Do I understand it all? I don't don't understand, but guess what? It's not my job to understand. It's my job to love and accept people right where they are. And if there's change to occur, let who do it?
God.
Let the potter put them on the wheel. If it be his desire. You all, we spend too much time in the church fussing and arguing and complaining about stuff that has absolutely no bearing on our own sin. But it causes us to sin because we fall into the sin of judgment. Who are we to say that God made a mistake? Well, that ain't God. God ain't in that. You know God like that? Because the word that I read said that our thoughts are not his thoughts, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Our ways are not his ways, and his ways are not our ways. So now we're caught up in Caitlyn Jenner, and it's all over the news, and folks are all on Facebook expressing their opinions on Twitter, Instagram. They're Snapchatting about it. They're making vines about it. If you're so worried about Caitlyn Jenner, how much time are you spending with God for yourself? You've got to let the world know your opinion on Caitlyn Jenner. Who cares about your opinion? Who are you? Who died and made you the judge, jury, and the executioner? You don't know a person's struggle till you've walked their struggle. And if you haven't walked it, keep your mouth shut. And let God be the judge. Let God do the work. Love people. We run more people out of the church trying to figure stuff out and tell them what they need to look like, how they need to act, what they need to be like, how they need to preach, how they need to sing, how they need to play, how they need to do this and how they need to do that. How about you let them do it the way God directs them instead of the way you want them to? So now we've got all these people looking like mummies sitting up in the church, and we're wondering where the stench is coming from. We got a lot of death sitting in the house. People all mummified, dying, because you got them bound up. You're so busy telling them everything they can't do, they don't know what they can do. They're scared to move left or right. It might be a sin. Have you ever been in a church where everything you do is a sin? If you listen to secular music, that's a sin. You know, if you go to football games, that's a sin. If you go here, that's a sin. Oh, God forbid you walk up in a club. Oh, my God, you are sinning. You are sinning. You are sinning. Oh, God, somebody anoint her. Somebody bless her, God. Oh, Jesus, she done fell back. She done backslid. So she walked up in the doors of the club. Can I tell you something? Jesus didn't spend all his time in the temple. He rarely was in the temple. Probably the place he spent the least amount of time. Most of his time was spent where the sinners were. So here we are, all these saved folk up in the church, with our saved, sanctified self, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, to each other, in front of each other, and then we go out into the world, and nobody knows who we are. They either don't know who we are, or we beat them over the head so much they don't want to serve the God we serve. Either way, God is not winning in that. So how do we get back to being naked and unashamed? How do we get back there? Because I've messed up. I know I mess up daily. I know I mess up daily. I already sinned this morning. Already. But y'all might be so saved and sanctified that y'all didn't sin this morning. I sinned this morning. I'm not talking about yesterday. I'm talking about this morning on the way to church. I'm mad because we late. Just mad. I'm sending Brittany a text message. Just leaving town with three faces. And it ain't even that serious. We got here. Everything was here. We were fine. Everything was fine. But you know what? We get caught up in ourselves. So how do we avoid it? How do we get naked and be unashamed? We repent. We repent. We repent of our sins. We repent for being judgmental. We repent for trying to bind people up. We repent. Say, God, I know that I sin. I know, God, that I'm unworthy of your grace and your love. I know that, God. But could you please forgive me anyway? Could you let the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. For me. He did it for me. Sir, as the offering, the sin offering, because the wages of sin is death. Something must die. Jesus died one time for all people, and all of our sins. So we have to repent. We have to acknowledge that we've sinned. We have to repent from our sins. And repenting is a what? A turning away, right? We turn away from it. We turn away from it. And then, does this sound familiar like last week? We got to ask God to restore our joy. We've got to ask him to cleanse us and restore our joy. Why? Because sin brings shame and condemnation. God doesn't come to condemn. He comes to convict that we might change. And with that change, he tosses our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, is how far your sins are. So we've been released of it. But we hold on to it. We hold on. And we feel like we've got to pay penance. Listen, this is not the Catholic Church. We don't have to go say 12 Hail Marys. All we've got to do is say, Father, forgive me for our sins. He forgives us. Then we've got to forgive ourselves. We've got to forgive ourselves. And then how about this right here? We've got to forgive others. We've got to forgive others. Those very people who've done you wrong, you've got to forgive them. And you're going to hear me saying this constantly. Why? It is our number one battle. It is the thing we struggle with the most, forgiveness, forgiving people, like really forgiving them. I know one Sunday we might come and say, oh, I forgive them, Lord, I forgive them, I forgive them, Lord, I forgive them. And then they do something that's like, I can't stand them. See, I knew I should have never forgave them in the first place. Now you're right back to square one. You're even madder because you forgave them. I knew I shouldn't have forgave them. That darn Dr. B come back, the Lord said you need to forgive. It's worse, right? We got to keep forgiving. We got to forgive on a daily basis. If it means we got to forgive minute by minute, we got to forgive. We just got to forgive. We got to forgive. Why? Because we need God to forgive us. And the word is really clear about this. If you don't forgive your brother, our God in heaven won't forgive you. Oh, my God, right there. I forgive. I forgive everybody. I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them because I know I'm going to need your forgiveness. I forgive them, Lord. We've got to forgive. Now, listen. Let me tell you what happens when you do that. When you acknowledge your sin, you confess it, you repent, you ask God to cleanse you, ask him to restore your joy, you forgive yourself and you forgive others, baby, you can take all your clothes off and be like, woo, I don't have nothing to hide. This is my philosophy. I believe in telling on my own self. I don't need nobody to tell on me because they don't never tell the story right, Apostle J. They always got to add or take away. Listen, I don't need you to add nothing to my story, okay? I do enough on my own, all by myself. I don't need you to add nothing. So my philosophy is, if I tell on my own self, I don't have no shame. What can you say? They would ask me, why do you tell your students you've been married 5 times? Because I have. Well, what if that affects your credibility? Then they don't need to hear me. If me being married 5 times means that you can't hear the word of God as it comes through my mouth, then I'm not the person that you need to hear it from. You need to hear it from somebody else. Because I still have been married 5 times.
Come on, come on.
It is what it is. The woman at the well had 6 husbands, and the one she was messing with then wasn't her husband. And she went into a town and she converted the whole city, telling them what? Let me tell you about a man that told me all about myself. Girl, and he told me that I had all these husbands and the one I went with my dad. For real? Yeah, and they knew why. They had been with her. So they knew that he was telling the truth. Y'all, listen, stop allowing people to put you in bondage over stuff you did. You did what you did. You did it, so what? Yeah, I did it. Bill Clinton, when they were asking him about smoking marijuana, asked him, did you smoke marijuana when you were in college? He said, well, I smoked it, but I didn't breathe in. I smoked it. Am I lying? Am I lying, baby? Ain't that what he said? He said, I smoked it, but I didn't inhale. You giving a shot. Giving a shotgun. Is that what they call it, a shotgun? When you blowing something? That's what you're doing. You ain't smoking it. Now, how do I know this? I done smoked weed before. And I did inhale. I didn't blow it. And I made all the weed faces that people make. That faces that you make when you smoke weed, right? Especially if it's good weed, okay? Now, am I condoning smoking weed? I'm not condoning smoking weed. Well, who am I to say, don't smoke it? If it gets to the point where it's interfering with your ability to function, you need to leave it alone. Who am I to judge you because that's what you do? I'd rather you smoke weed and kill people. Which thing? Smoke weed and kill people. I need you to go hit that joint over there in the corner, please. Could you just go over there and hit the joint in the corner? I don't need you killing nobody. And that sounds crazy to people, but listen. This is what I want you to understand. There are things that God is trying to do that's bigger than whether or not somebody smokes. Because I promise you, if God wants them to stop, he'll take the taste out of your mouth. He'll take it. He'll take it. But if I'm always on somebody about stopping, what are they going to do? Continue. Okay, how about we try this? How about we just pray for people? Pray that God's will be done in their life, that they have a life-changing, life-altering encounter with the Most High God that takes them into the very throne room of God. How about we do that instead of spending all of our time trying to make them feel ashamed every time they get naked? But we walk around all covered up, but still feeling shame, praying that nobody sees our shame, praying that nobody sees what we did last night, praying that nobody sees what we saw, praying that nobody knows where we were. God said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundant. Jesus' sacrifice was so that we could be naked and unashamed. I was thinking about this morning. My husband and I were laying in the bed, and I said, oh, baby, I love us naked. I love us naked. I was getting ready for this message. That's what I was doing. I was getting ready for this message. It's lightning outside, isn't it? I was thinking about the message, right? But I was thinking about, see, because in marriage, you can be naked and not feel shame. I don't have to feel no guilt. We can get it as much as we want, wherever we want, however we want. Hey! And I don't feel any guilt. But when I was doing it outside of marriage, because I know God, I would always feel guilty afterwards. I'd feel dirty. I'd feel like, oh, God, let me go on, I got to take a shower. Ooh, I got to get it off of me. Lord, I'm sorry, Jesus, please forgive me. God wants us to be able to be naked and unashamed. Come out of your bondage. Take off the mummified clothes that others have wrapped around you. Take off the weight that other people have put on you and be free to be you. Whoever you are, the church is a place where you ought to be able to be free to be you. If you tatted, come in tatted. If you pierced, come in pierced. If you drunk, come in drunk. If you high, come in high. But come. He said, whosoever will, let them come. Because I promise you, if you ever want to get your high messed up, start talking about God. It'll mess it up. You'll be like, whoa. And I know I smoked some good stuff. Why am I just went. It just left. The high's gone now. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. God is, he wants to do that. That's what he wants to do with us. So now the question is, who wants to be free? Who's got some stuff that you've been feeling shamed for? Maybe other people have made you feel shame, or maybe you've shamed your own self about the stuff. But you're ready to take off your grave clothes. You're ready to get free. You're ready to be set free from the guilt and the shame that the enemy has placed upon your life, and you just want God's freedom, his liberation. If that's you, I want you to come up here today. We're going to pray for you that you're able to walk in the freedom and the liberty that God has given you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's not you, be praying for those that it is. My God. Baby, can you put on the, you have won the victory? Because I need y'all to know that Jesus didn't die for nothing. Death could not hold him down. And there was a reason for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Apostle Jay, I'm going to ask you to just pray.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something Prophet said is so significant. That outside the confines of marriage, and we got to understand what is marriage. And that relationship with God, and that relationship with that partner, a committed, contractual relationship. How does that, with our partner, with our spouse, how does that relate to God? That we're in a committed relationship with them. What's our contract? It's our verbal contract. Where is it written? On our heart. Hallelujah. And when it's written on our heart, and isn't that what Jesus said? I'm not just going to, God said in the Old Testament, I'm not just going to write it on the tablets anymore, but I'm going to write it in their heart, and that's where he wants it.
Yes.
He writes it on our heart. Can I get everybody to do me a favor? Even where you're sitting, where you're at, can you just stand? Let's pray with these individuals that are up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to feel guilty about anything else. Hallelujah. Because you have that contract. You're up here to see. Amen. God, I have that contract with you now, and I don't have to be ashamed. I'm making it out of shame. So that's the first thing you ask yourself, are you married to him? Are you married to him? Are you married to him? Is it written in your heart? Not just with your mouth, but is it written with your heart? Hallelujah. That you have that relationship with him. And when you have that relationship with him, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, yes, God is. It's written on my heart. I've made that contractual, that contract with you with my mouth and with my heart. I'm not just saying it with my mouth because the scripture does. Hallelujah. That there are people who would worship him with their mouth, but their heart is far from him. We want to make sure, first of all, that that's not where you're at today. You're not just worshiping him with your mouth. You're not just giving him lip service. Hallelujah. But you're giving him heart. You're giving him your heart. Hallelujah. And when you give God your heart, hallelujah, you can honestly say, God, you won the victory for me, so there's no need for me. Hallelujah. Do me a favor to take off your glass. Hallelujah. There's no need for me to feel guilty anymore. Hallelujah. There's no need for me to feel ashamed. I may have made some mistakes. My God. My God. Oh, my God. But God, here I am, just as I am, and I give it all to you. Here she is, Lord, standing before me. Not with just with her mouth, but with her heart, God, having that relationship with you in the name of Jesus. And God, there's some things that the enemy wanted her to be ashamed about. But Father, we bind the spirit of shame and guilt off of her life right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you. Hallelujah, every stronghold, every fact that the enemy has set for you, my sister, we cancel it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No more despair, no more depression, no more downcast of your heart. But God has already made the way. Thank you, Lord. God has already did it for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God has already opened up the foundation. They'll open up the way and lay the foundation, open up the way. God, please take it from my sister right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for holding her close. And everything that the enemy has told her to make her feel guilty and ashamed, Father, we take it off of her right now in the name of Jesus. Every heaviness in the name of Jesus. No more ashamed. No more guilt, Father. For no more curses in our life. For you hung on a tree and became a curse. power and victory. She's walking in might in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for causing her to accept herself for who she is, realizing that she's beautifully and wonderfully made in the name of Jesus. No more depression. No more wondering if it will happen. Am I good enough? Hallelujah. But so forth, without a shadow of doubt, that God has made you just as you are. Hallelujah. And you already have the victory. Thank you, God. Thank you for my sister here today, Lord. God, thank you, Lord. What the enemy meant for evil, my God, you've already turned it for her good. Hallelujah. God, we rebuke every negative word that has been spoken in her ear and that has transcended into her spirit. Father God, we pluck it up right now in the name of Jesus. She will not, from this day forth, she will no longer wonder how that she's good enough, but she will know with a shadow of doubt that God has made me good enough, and I can make it by his strength. By his strength I am made whole, and with his strength I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Hallelujah. We bind the spirit, we rebuke the spirit of fear off her life. Hallelujah. The spirit of torment. Hallelujah. Memories of the negative. Thank you, God, for giving her a brighter future.
Set you free in your spirit.
I'm so afraid of disappointing people.
to plant here. Once that started, I'm sending you here. Once that started, you're going to go here, and this is what you do. And I'm like, oh, okay. And my heart stopped racing. So then I come here, and I wanted to tell Ross, I'm like, I'm going to get new clothes. But I forgot to tell him. So then I get here, and you start preaching, and God goes, great clothes, honey. That's what's coming off. And you go, great clothes are coming off. And I went, oh, oh. Bless God.
What is also happening in the spirit is also going to happen in the natural.
Yeah,
so you're going to get it. Come on, give God some praise. We decree it and we declare it over your life. So it is in the spirit, so let it be in the natural. Amen. Everything about you is changing. Come on, here, somebody. Everything about you is changing. Hallelujah. Everything, even I hear God say, even in the desired weight that you want to be at, everything is happening. Hallelujah. So wait just a little while, because watch, a drastic change is going to happen in your life.
Yes.
Amen. Come on, give God a praise. Right now.
Hallelujah. I thank God for who he is and for what he's doing and how he's moving. God is doing some miraculous things, and I know that if you pray and you give things, situations, and people to God, God will do a work. See, the mistake we make is we want to do the work so we can get the credit. But God said, if you let me do the work, I'll get the credit and I'll get the glory. Remember, it's for his glory. Now listen, I'm going to ask Kayla if she'll come up, and she's going to make the announcements. While she's making the announcements, though, I want you all to get your offering together. Get your offering together. If you don't have any cash with you and you want to give, and all you've got is your card, then you can do that too. All you've got to do is pull out your cell phone and text VXTHEACTS to the number 77977. 77977. Type VXACTS. If you need an envelope, raise your hand. Brittany will pass out an envelope. Hallelujah.
And today, God preaches at Worship Unlimited at 3 p.m.
Hallelujah.
And it's located at 2628 East 27th Avenue, Tampa, Florida, 33605. June 13th, Perfectly Imperfect Worship Workshop with Kendall Hall, 3 o'clock through 5 o'clock p.m. June 14th, we're going to start advertising the Heart to Heart Truth, February 11th through 14th, 2016. June 26th through 28th, the tour in Marco. Friday night concert, Saturday workshop, and Sunday worship service. Minister Angie B. will be preaching. June 27th, Dr. B. goes to Daytona for Women's Conference. July 10th through 12th, Holy Ghost fireworks with Prophet Tristan McPherson.
Prophet Tristan's coming back!
Friday and Saturday night at 7:30, and the youth explosion at 1 o'clock. Sunday worship at 11 a.m., Prophet Tristan preaching.
If you've not heard Prophet Tristan McPherson, baby, you need to come out. That is a powerful prophet of God. If you've got young people, he really ministers to young people. Listen, I love it when a young man of God can reach those young people right where they are. I'm talking about folks in the street, gangbanging, drug dealers. He came from that life. So he was about that life, but now he's about this life. He bowed it. So we want to bless God for him coming back. If you have your offering, you can go ahead and bring it up. Maybe can you give us a little music? T-H-E-A-C-T-S. No, the two is 77977. 77977.
And then type V-A. Ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know.
Glory, glory.
You better put some hands together and act like you know it's in here.
Jesus. ask my husband, my other half, to come up here. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Hey, and we can be naked and unashamed. I bless God for my husband. I tell you, when I look at our journey and where we've come from, I know that it is only God that has done this. It's amazing to me the love that he's given us for one another, a love that just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And he can love me when I'm naked and he sees all my extra dimples and the fat that y'all don't see because it's covered up. Bless God. Hallelujah. I honor him as my head. Yes, Jesus. I honor him. I honor him. So thank you, baby, for being who you are in God in my life.
Thank you, Eve. Y'all know what? It's just raining outside, but it was storming in here. I mean, the big boom was dropping today. So, if you leave the same way you came in, you deserve to get wet. And in the words of Russell Simmons on Def Comedy Jam, thank God, be blessed, good night.
Praise God, praise God. You all, we've got service at 3 p.m., at 3 p.m. at Worship Unlimited in Tampa. If you'd like to go, we've got the address. We can get you the address so that you can go. I'll be preaching. The Lord gave me the word to preach. Come up. Come up. Come up. Time for us to experience the come up, all right? Praise God. Thank you all so much. We love you. As my husband said, God bless you. May he be glorified in all that you say and you do. We love you. Dismissed. Hallelujah.